Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Isn't that the truth? You really can't predict what will happen from half to half. You can't predict what will happen from drive to drive. It's that wild and wacky, especially when the NFL season is brand new. It's a baby. It's an infant. We're not even in toddler stage. The NFL season is not even crawling yet. And so there's a lot of learning curves still ahead. Beware, curves ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our promise to you on every Sunday night show is that we're going to get to all the games. Now, we'll spend more time on specific games, storylines, and as we get deeper in the season, more matchups that provide the compelling storylines or even getting closer to the winter, those that have playoff implications. But for right now, the NFL season is a blank canvas, and there's so much that we could throw on the canvas to make a splash. Have you ever seen those, maybe you've seen it on YouTube, maybe you've done it yourself, ever seen those painting studios where you can go and just throw paint at a big canvas and whatever it is that you create, great, but that's not really the point. It's more about relieving stress and expressing yourself by throwing things. I could use some of that every now and then. That's what the NFL canvas is right now. It's a gigantic wall-sized blank space and we're just chucking paint at it.
Hazard reported ahead.
We have no idea what it's going to look like when it's done. It could be a mess or it could be amazing. And maybe it's a little bit of both, messy and awesome. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we not only want to know what you thought of week number one to date, lots of observations coming in already, but we've got our very first After Hours Monday MVP poll. We bring it back for NFL season, and we'll let you vote throughout the day on Monday. Who is your Monday MVP NFL style? So the poll is up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I did retweet it. Producer Jay also putting it up on our Facebook page. And I hope you'll be willing to cut us some slack, show us a little grace as well, because, yeah, we're shaking off rust. Maybe not quite as much as Joe Burrow. Oy, we'll get to the AFC North, but we are shaking off some rust ourselves, trying to find that rhythm that can be familiar, and yet it's a lot. It's a lot of storylines, a lot of names, a lot of numbers, a lot of matchups, a lot of times, a lot of dates, a lot of sound, a lot of reaction. My brain is, my spaghetti plate brain, it's overflowing, which is all right. It's a good problem to have, especially NFL season. So welcome back, NFL, and welcome back to Tua Tagovailoa. Do you know what he did in his very first drive returning to the Miami Dolphins as their QB? He fumbled. Oh, no. Oh, no. What did Trevor Lawrence tell us? That despite throwing three interceptions in the first half of a playoff game, the response should be good. That's it. Got to shake it off.
No matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
Just got to shake it off. Oh, or we could emote with Taylor Swift. So he fumbles on the opening drive. And you know what happens? It leads to a 94-yard march for the Chargers. Austin Eckler gets his first score of the season. Oy, okay. I guess we put ourselves in a hole, but we've got plenty of time to get it back. And Miami does steady. You might not have expected it or even believed it if you walked away from the game. But the Dolphins put 20 points on the board in that first half. They had a couple of extended drives, a 75-yarder, an 80-yard drive, and they were actually ahead of the Chargers 20-17 at the break. The second half is when you needed to buckle up. It was a bit of a roller coaster. You know how they check your supports, they check the bars to make sure that you are locked in before they send you out on a roller coaster that goes upside down? Well, that's what you needed to be strapped in with the bar down and firmly secure in the second half, because there were four lead changes. To use another analogy or metaphor, the second half was like whiplash. It was football whiplash, back and forth, back and forth. Justin Herbert gets into the end zone for a one-yard touchdown run to start the third quarter, and then Tua throws an interception. So yes, he's back, and the Dolphins had a lot to offer, but it was a mixed bag for Tua. However, I don't know that his nickname can be the eraser. He's already got the nickname Cheetah because he's the fastest guy in the NFL. But Tyreek Hill certainly does give you the ability to erase mistakes, and I'm sure Tua is thankful.
Tua back to throw. Deep downfield. Wide open touchdown, Tyreek Hill!
What a throw and catch. Right on the money, one-on-one. Tyreek just runs by him, and what a throw by Tua. Wow.
35 yards.
Hey, don't mess around, Jimmy. First play.
That'll be second and goal now. See where they spot it. Looks like it's going to be right about the 2.5-yard line.
They're not slowing down.
No, they are not. That's that tempo you've been talking about, DJ. Second and goal. Herbert, Kelly into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Joshua Kelly for his fifth career score. Gets it from 2 yards out, and the Bolts are back in business.
Oh, the drama in the second half. Yes, you hear the Dolphins radio network and then the Chargers radio network. So that takes us from the third quarter into the fourth quarter, and still so much drama to come. Yeah, it was definitely the tie and Tua show in the second half, and it seemed as though any time the Dolphins needed a big play, they needed chunk yardage, they needed to kind of regain that momentum, the answer was Tua to tie.
Boy, another third down. My gosh.
1:48 left to play. The Dolphins trail the Chargers 34-30. And a third and goal at the 5-yard line going in. Flips it to the corner, and it's caught! Tyreek Hill, touchdown!
Who else can you beat in a game? My gosh. Tyreek Hill, again, what a throw. What a throw by Tua.
He beat Mike Davis.
Just frozen for just a second.
Hey, you can't throw the ball any better than that.
Right over the shoulder of Davis, right into the arms of Tyreek. Unbelievable.
You guys see what he can do for defenses, the problems that he offers. His speed for one, his ability to catch the ball, and man, like I got to find a way to stop this guy. Catch the ball, and he can turn a 2-yard route into a 20-yard route, things like that.
So Tua already raving about Tyreek Hill, and no doubt Tyreek, who had, 1,700 yards receiving last year, has stated his goal is to be the first wide receiver ever to go over 2,000 yards in a season with one quarterback. It's possible. If they have this connection all season, it's possible. And Tua clearly looks for him. And Tyreek's told us that Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Accurate quarterback in the NFL.
They definitely had that connection working in week number one. So that second TD you hear on the Dolphins radio network happened just inside the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. So game not done, especially not after we saw the Chargers answer multiple times. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Justin Herbert certainly can chuck and duck as well, and they still had a 1:45 with the football.
Here we go. 4th down, 13. Dolphins up by 2. The Chargers have the football deep in their own territory. They got a pitch.
They got him.
They got him again.
He blitzed them. They did not pick up the blitz. I mean, it was wide open. What a call by Vic Fangio in that defense.
55 seconds left. The Dolphins can take a knee.
The players in leadership positions had their mind right for what today was. I thought they were in for the entirety of it. Weren't going to get too high or too low. And that's a key component in the National Football League.
Yeah, congratulations to the Dolphins and welcome back, Tua. This was a big test for them on the road. Whether or not you think the Chargers have a great home field advantage, they're still all the way across the country. So yeah, the sack by the Miami defense ends the threat. And even though the Chargers, this is brutal. If you are Brandon Staley and you're the Chargers offense, you waste 234 rushing yards. 234 rushing yards. Austin Eckler alone was over 100 yards, and then Josh Kelly had nearly 100 himself. That is a big-time waste of a lot of great offense. They go well over 430 yards of offense, and yet Tua, Tyreek, Raheem Mostert, Jalen Waddle, they were just better. Tua had nearly 470 passing yards and three touchdowns, though he did have the two turnovers as well. But yeah, to have Tyreek Hill as a weapon is a big deal. And Tyreek, you know, he returns the favor because, I mean, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I think Tua might be his favorite quarterback of all time.
Tua's a baller, bro. I've been saying this since last year. You know, I've been an advocate, you know, for him. And like, he definitely showed it today, you know, even during halftime. You know, he was able to come in, you know, get guys going a little bit. And even on the sideline with me, he's like, hey, Cheetah, let's get it, baby. Big-time moment, big-time players made big-time plays. So he kind of, you know, leaned on me a little bit towards the end. And, you know, I mean, that just means more targets for me, though. And I kind of enjoy that.
Oh,
so.
God. It always comes back to him. It always comes back to Tyreek. Although, how can you fault him? Because the truth is the truth. And right now, yeah, he is one of the top weapons in the NFL. You all blanched at me. Producer Jay definitely did last week when I said, if you have the number one pick in the NFL in your fantasy draft, your NFL fantasy draft, take Tyreek Hill. And the face that Jay made, he said, really? Over Justin Jefferson, over Christian McCaffrey? I'm telling you, he could have a record-setting season, especially if Tua is healthy all the way through, because Tua looks for Tyreek Hill. And as much, here's the funny part, you can't double Tyreek Hill. There's no way to do it because you can't stay with him. You have to try to contain him, and you have to put guys around him. It's like a zone or like a box in one, to borrow from basketball, for Tyreek Hill. But he can squirt through such small spaces, and he's so fast. You can't double him because you're just wasting two defenders. And so this is why, as long as Tua is healthy and can stay accurate, and we see that all the time, then this is going to be a dynamic duo throughout the season. Tyreek is one of our candidates for the After Hours Monday MVP. So find the poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. As for the Los Angeles Chargers, I mean, I wouldn't say this is the Chargers being the Chargers, though if you consider how they were bounced from the playoffs 6 months ago when they had the, gosh, 27-point lead in the first half when they were playing the Jaguars, only to see Jacksonville come back. Yeah, it's kind of a wah, 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 and just fell short.
You got to give credit to Miami. You know, sometimes games like this happen in the NFL. You know, the last time, you know, we played these guys, it was the other way. Okay, and sometimes you're going to have a game where you light it up. And sometimes, you know, in a game with that type of skill over there, you can get lit up.
It's just one game. It counts for the same as every other week, right? But it kind of hurts when you put so much into it and you feel like you did a lot of good things, like 234 rushing yards, and somehow that doesn't result in a win.
Hey, Cheetah, let's get it, baby.
It just results in more catches for me. I mean, like, that is what it's all about, let's be honest, when it comes to Tyreek Hill. At least he doesn't hide it. He's Tyreek's top PR rep. I mean, that's what he is.
Throw me the ball. I'll catch it.
He's all about self-promotion. Yeah, and until he doesn't catch it or until his production falls off, I suppose there's nothing you can say about it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's quickly transition, staying in the AFC, but talking about the Baltimore Ravens, because they also have some incredible weapons on their side. Now, Lamar Jackson with a brand new offensive coordinator. This one, replacing Greg Roman, right? And so you've got maybe a new approach, some different looks where it's not all about the ground and pound, where Lamar can have a little more freedom. And so hosting the Houston Texans on Monday, I still saw a lot of the same. Now, Lamar Jackson is still an incredible athlete, and that's not going to change, but it feels like we still saw a lot of the same when it came to their offense, which is let's set up the run. Let's play that tough physical defense and then set up the run as well. Now, we're going to get to CJ Stroud as well as the rookie quarterback. So we'll save kind of the Houston part of this to go along with Indianapolis and Anthony Richardson, but also with Bryce Young, who obviously is the number one overall pick, who is starting on Sunday for the first time. But when we're looking at the Ravens side of things, important that Lamar Jackson has more say, more authority over the offense, and yet still what we got was a pair of Justice Hall touchdown runs, and the defense around a fourth down stop in the third quarter. That was really the turning point in this game, because the Ravens made a few mistakes early on, right? So they had an interception by Lamar Jackson. They were able to get a J.K. Dobbins touchdown run, but then the defense allows, you know, a 9-minute drive by Houston and can't get the possession back. So it really was some positives, but also some negatives that were mixed in there as well. And so while the Ravens were leaving the door wide open for the Houston Texans, Houston was able to kind of do some good things. But ultimately, Baltimore got a big fourth down stop in the third quarter and then had a pair of Justice Hall touchdowns that were put around that, right? So we're able to go over 100 yards rushing. That's Baltimore's MO. When they go over 100 yards rushing, you know they're really effective. There was some bad news, and you'll hear the reaction, but J.K. Dobbins actually left with a torn Achilles tendon in this one. And so he started out like a house on fire, and their running game starts out like a house on fire, but then they lose him for the entire season. Lamar did have a couple of turnovers. The offense was inconsistent, but not as inconsistent as the Texans. So there's that. Yeah, what about this new offense that results in a win, Lamar?
We had our ups and down moments. Like, you know, you can see where our ceiling would be, you know, and then some moments is like what we was doing, you know, like what we doing, questioning ourselves out there. But like I said, you know, it's the first game, little hiccups, first time with each other, you know, on that field. I feel like the sky's the limit, though.
I thought the offense played a winning football game. I'm proud of it. I'm really happy with what we did. I'm looking forward to where we can go from here.
Yeah, so when you think about the run game, I don't know that they're going to get too far away from what they have done with Lamar Jackson. They don't want him to get hit as much. I know he wants to be able to throw the ball more too. And yeah, they've got some security now because he is their quarterback of the now and the future with the new contract. But they still go 110 yards rushing. Justice Hill had the two touchdowns. Lamar himself had 38 yards. Gus Edwards is in there. And then J.K., though they lose J.K. to the torn Achilles. And that will cause them to call another guy to step up, but cause them to kind of shuffle the deck with the plays a bit.
That's very unfortunate. You know, I feel like J.K. been busting his behind, you know, to get back on that field and, you know, just show the world what he's capable of and to help us out along the way. I spoke highly of him, you know, this offseason, just letting everybody know, like, we really need him. And for him to go down with a season-ending injury, that's just very unfortunate for us, not just him, for all of us, because that's our brother.
Obviously, you know, the news came out about him, and I texted him. That guy, you know, a good brother of mine, it hurts to see that type of stuff happen to somebody so good. So just a good person, good athlete. Obviously, you got other stuff going on, and it's just tough. I just ask everybody just pray for him, pray for his mental, pray for Marcus's mental, pray for those guys. Just stuff like that, that's why he went in the situation that he went in, you know. It's just tough. It hurts, honestly. It hurts. Mm.
So Patrick Queen getting emotional, talking about J.K. Dobbins, the fourth-year Ravens running back who's gone for the season with a torn Achilles. A couple of other notes. The rookie receiver, Zay Flowers, makes a splash in this one. 9 catches, 78 yards for him. And also Odell Beckham Jr., welcome back to the NFL. After missing all of last season, he is part of the Baltimore Ravens lineup. And I kept looking and looking, waiting for him to get a couple of targets. He did have his first 2 catches. But did you also see? It was setting up one of the Justice Hill touchdowns, but I think he drew 2 penalties where it was either interference or illegal contact. He drew a couple of flags to help out his team as well. And so it's good to see Odell there, weird in purple, but you know, whatever, he's making his rounds. This is his 4th team now in the NFL. Something else that jumped out about the Ravens, which I don't love, and they're going to have to clear this up, but I think week 1, you know, you take what you can get. 13 penalties for 106 yards for the Ravens. So this one didn't need to be as close as it was, but Lamar said it best. They were really inconsistent. They did some good things, but they also had some moments that they're not going to want to watch on film. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about these rookie quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, he was number 2 overall to the Texans. We'll talk Anthony Richardson of the Colts, who was very active. And then also Bryce Young, the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, rookies giveth and they taketh away. That's just how it goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the
Walk the Dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
After Hours Podcast.
Just get the play call and the ball snap. Because it's your first NFL snap. You don't want to make it larger than what it is. Just get the ball snapped and get the play running.
First down, Texans at the Houston 38-yard line. Stroud under center, Pierce the lone back. And here comes Damian, straight ahead across the 40, plowing and taking people across the 42-yard line. Gain of 4 here on first down for Damian Pierce.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a soft debut for C.J. Stroud. But yeah, the rookie out of Ohio State making his debut as the Texans starting QB. And we talked about the Ravens side of things. Well, C.J. had a lost fumble, but did attempt 43 passes, 230 yards for him. He got sacked five times, though, which was part of that Ravens physical defensive challenge. And it was tough for the Texans. They hung tough there for a while. Thankfully for them, they had a few extra opportunities because the Ravens were making mistakes, but ultimately just not productive enough. 8 of 22 on third and fourth down. And so, yeah, for C.J. Stroud, there's some good news. You get your feet wet in the NFL, but obviously a lot that they can still find on tape and work on in practice.
I don't really have any things I'm kind of harping on that we did super great. I don't think we did anything super great. But I do think we shot ourselves in the foot a lot. Got to just be better in and out the huddle in the red zone. Just getting in and out the huddle, getting the plays clean, getting guys lined up and getting the play clock and things like that. So I think those are the things that kind of hindered us a little bit.
And that all comes with reps. It all comes with familiarity. It all comes with just immersing yourself in the position. And this is the best way to learn, especially if you don't have high expectations as a franchise this season, which the Texans are, they're building. D'Amico Ryan's his first game as an NFL head coach. You hear the call there with Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. Staying in that same division, the Colts also debuting a rookie quarterback, and Anthony Richardson didn't have to wait long to get his first score.
Richardson going to take off and run. He's in there! Touchdown! INDY! The first career touchdown for Anthony Richardson is a rushing score. Jaguars 7, Colts 6.
A six-yard run through traffic. He took a couple of hits there, and we saw that throughout the game, which may concern his head coach just a little bit. They actually pulled him out of the game in the final minute, and initially people thought that it might be a head injury, but actually I heard later that it was just a bulky knee, and so I don't think it's anything that they're concerned about. They just didn't feel the need to put him back in at the end of this game against the Jaguars. So you hear Matt Taylor on Colts radio. They kind of go back and forth with the Jags, and a lot of turnovers here. So the Colts have three of them. The Jags have two of them. The Jags were brutal on third down, so they couldn't find a real rhythm either. And Jacksonville, while they are the reigning AFC South champion, also kind of look the same way, where it's spotty and it's sketchy at times. You certainly can see what Calvin Ridley can do as an addition to this offense and a new weapon for Jacksonville. But yeah, the Colts were able to take advantage of some mistakes there as well. So Anthony Richardson, as the rookie, ends up with, let's see, he ends up with, I'm looking at the wrong page. He ends up with some positives, and he ends up with some big runs. He has 223 yards and a couple of touchdowns in there. Ultimately, though, the Jags win mostly because they made fewer mistakes. But it's good for him also to feel what it's like, right, to get out there, to get hit, not wear the red jersey, and to find out how fast this game actually goes in games that count.
We didn't win, so I didn't do good enough. But, you know, first game, first experience, you know, felt good just being out there with my teammates. You know, the energy was good. We just got to clean some things up, you know, including myself. But, you know, it was fun out there just being back out there playing football.
I thought he played solid. I did. I'll take fault for that interception right there. It was second and 10 or whatever, and, you know, it was a cover two deal, and we didn't have a great route call there, and got to be better there. But I thought he managed the game well. Thought he, you know, did some really good things, really encouraged with his progress and what he did.
Shane Steichen, his head coach, of course, is going to go positive here because they're also starting not just from the ground level and trying to build themselves and build a new culture as well, like D'Amico Ryan's in Houston. So you've got brand new head coaches and brand new quarterbacks in both Houston and Indianapolis. But the key here to note is that they do not have Jonathan Taylor. He's out for at least the first month. Don't know whether or not there'll be any resolution to their conflict. And so to have a porous offensive line, you know, like that was the unit that struggled so badly last year that they had to not only pull Matt Ryan as their quarterback, but they ultimately ended up firing Frank Reich. The O-line was really the source of a lot of what plagued the Colts, but it didn't appear a whole lot better. Now, Anthony Richardson is mobile, so that's helpful, but you still don't want him getting hit a ton. We know what the possibilities are when your quarterback is constantly getting smacked. We'll talk about Jacksonville a little bit later on because Calvin Ridley, welcome back to the NFL. He had an incredible day. He's one of our candidates for the After Hours Monday MVP. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. I want to get to Bryce Young here, though, because we told you the theme is the rookie quarterbacks. And for Bryce Young, the cool thing is that, again, same thing with say like a Doug Peterson who took over with Trevor Lawrence in his second year. He's a quarterback, so he speaks the language, right? I mean, Shane Steichen, actually, having worked with Jalen Hurts for 2 years, I think it was 2 years, in Philadelphia, he can bring that experience and share that with Anthony Richardson. So now you've got a Bryce Young who has a former NFL QB as his head coach in Frank Reich. And so they can speak the same language. They can work on this together. And it certainly does help that Frank is not a newbie. He's already got it down what it means to be an NFL head coach. And so I think you might actually see that learning curve a little less steep in Carolina.
Young out of the shotgun. Fires in the flat. Hayden Hurst. Touchdown! Bryce Young with his first touchdown pass as a Panther. Hurst flips the ball into the stands. He used to call Atlanta home. And the Panthers a point after from tying it up.
Obviously, you know, we're all competitors. And, you know, losing is never going to be acceptable. So, I mean, you know, it's there's a lot for us to build off, to learn from, to grow in a lot. I have to improve at, be better at.
He has 150 yards or so passing, a couple of interceptions to go along with the touchdown that you hear there on Panthers radio. Now, the Panthers actually had 150 rushing yards in this loss to Atlanta. So that was one real bright spot. He has the touchdown pass to Hayden Hurst. But again, what happens in this game is that there are a lot of mistakes, right? So it's like a one step forward, two steps back, or as I was saying to you earlier, rookies giveth and then they taketh away. And that was a big deal, right, for Bryce Young and for all of these rookies, is that they end up with a bunch of mistakes. They end up either creating new opportunities for their opponent, in this case, Atlanta, or not just that, actually directly leading to scores, right? So there's just it's just like a spike. You ever see one of those? Here's what I'm thinking about in my head. One of those lie detector tests where someone tells a lie and the spike, 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 spike. And then when someone's telling the truth and their pulse is calm, then you just have the lower wave. Yeah, that's what I think about right now as I think about rookie quarterbacks, is that they got the spike, 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 spike. But they also have moments where you think, all right, maybe they're going to get this. Maybe they're going to figure this out. They just need some time. Clearly. And that's a big part of it. Carolina had 20 first downs in this game. And it was really the turnovers that killed them. They also had nearly 10 minutes more with the football. But the issue was that Atlanta had 17 points off turnovers, right? So you've got the good that's erased really because of their mistakes. The spike, 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 spike. Bryce Young did complete passes to 8 different targets. And so that was cool to see him spreading the ball around. Like I said, I think he really benefits from the mind of Frank Reich and the offense there. It's worth noting, too, that Bijan Robinson, who's not a quarterback, but a rookie that in Atlanta they're already touting for the future offensive rookie of the year, he had his first touchdown as well and got a taste of his first game day experience, and it comes in the NFC South.
Insane. I mean, just waving the towels, like, and then just how, like fired up they get, and just how crunk people get. Like they ready for every song. Every time we come off the field, you know, they yelling, screaming, you know, but that's the support that we need, you know, in order to keep on, you know, winning how we want to win. And just seeing that support out there today, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see how it turns out in that stadium next game.
Absolutely. Good stuff to really enjoy seeing him run. And it may be a candidate for TD of the week, the way he was able to sidestep the defense that was coming right at him. Such insane. Great anticipation. And yeah, insane. Atlanta Falcons fans, that was for you because it was absolutely insane. All right. So once we get through the update, we'll get to the Calvin Ridley piece of the Jacksonville. Well, welcome to the AFC South, Calvin Ridley, right? So we'll get the Calvin Ridley piece. And then also, did you see Derek Carr's debut? So a little NFC South and AFC South mixed together with Saints and Titans. I'm telling you, I'm not blinking till we get through all of these games. That's our promise to you on a Sunday night into a Monday morning. We still have Patriots to get to. Patriots, Eagles, Tom Brady honored. Obviously, back to Cowboys and Giants from Sunday Night Football. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's get it, baby.
You are listening to the After Hours.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
Podcast.
Trevor, shotgun formation against the four-man front. Dropping, looking. Trevor, still looking, still looking. Now scrambles to his left, still looking downfield. Now fires toward the end zone, back in the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Calvin Ridley, his first score as a Jaguar!
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, it was most definitely a hit. It's definitely going to be a hit with Calvin Ridley in Jacksonville. That's the call with Frank Frangie on the Jags Radio Network. How about this? Calvin Ridley with 8 catches, courtesy of Trevor Lawrence, 101 yards and a touchdown after missing an entire year because of his gambling suspension and getting traded from Atlanta to Jacksonville. The Jaguars have waited a long time for this one. So, yeah, Calvin Ridley, welcome back to the league.
So happy we got the win.
I'm a win first type of player. You know, I go out there. No, I don't want to play good, but I want to win the games. You know, it feels so good. We work so hard all week and all camp, you know, to go out there. And it was a great, I thought it was fun. And, you know, obviously we got to get way better, but I thought it was, you know, fun and we got the W.
I voted for him as the After Hours Monday MVP because I can see the potential. You inject him into that lineup with the Jags. Wowzers. He was definitely worth the wait. The poll is now up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as on our Facebook page. All right, staying there in the AFC South where the Titans reside, though they were on the road against the New Orleans Saints. And this is the debut of Derek Carr in a Saints uniform. So yeah, once again, lots of mistakes, lots of stops and starts, turnovers, and yet potential in week number one.
3rd and 7. Prentice is beside Carr. 2 receivers left, 2 right. Carr takes the snap. Here comes pressure. Throws to the end zone again. Wide open. And that is going to be a touchdown to Rashid Shaheed. What a play. What a pass. Wide open. Touchdown. Finally, a touchdown.
A lot of fun. I'm glad we won. That's all I wanted to do. And that was one of the more physical games I've played in my 10 years. Very physical football game up in the trenches. But proud of our guys, the way we bounced back in the second half.
Derek, before the possession started, he came right up to me. And he was like, just run as fast as you can.
damn, I'm going to throw it.
Just go.
So I knew going out there that he was going to give me opportunity. And, you know, I was able to create some separation. He threw a great ball, and I was able to get 2 feet in and, you know, maintain that drive to you know, maintain the win.
Derek Carr to Rashid Shaheed was the only touchdown in the Saints' win over the Titans. Welcome to week number one. Late third quarter, 19-yard strike. You hear Shaheed say, "Derek just told me to go. Run as fast as you can." And Carr was definitely fired up. The numbers weren't perfect. He had 300 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a pick. He also had 4 sacks. So, yeah, mixed bag, except the excitement there inside the Superdome as they hold on for a victory against the Titans. Yeah, that's why he wanted a fresh start.
The best part about it is that we won the game. You know, we won the game. That's literally the only reason I came here and wanted to play this game so bad, was to win this game so that we can hopefully continue to keep stacking them.
So Tennessee rallied with a pair of field goals early in the fourth quarter and put the pressure on the Saints. But this is what stood out to me. Not just the one touchdown or Derek Carr's 300 yards, but that the Saints protected that 1-point lead in the final 2-plus minutes. How they do it? They got a pair of first downs. They never gave the ball back to Ryan Tannehill, to Derrick Henry, to the Titans. Now DeAndre Hopkins there as well. And so they're able to mix the pass and the run and keep away, essentially, from Tannehill. Though I'm not sure Tannehill would have done a whole lot with it. Oy, tough day for him. 3 interceptions. Stop me if you've heard this before, Ryan Tannehill. And so, yeah, the big deal is, how about not turn the ball over so much?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, you can walk through whatever at the end of the day, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what happened. Turnovers, and, you know, we have to eliminate those to give ourselves a chance to win the game.
The coaching and the quarterback play and the line play and the defensive play, everybody. It's just, you know, it's never going to be about one guy.
No, but we know quarterbacks are the ones with the ball in their hands most of the time. They do go 0-for-3 in the red zone. Mike Vrabel points to that, but also 2-for-12 on third down, which is not a recipe for success. So the Titans are now 0-1. While we're talking South and NFC South with the Saints getting their first win, and the Buccaneers starting a new quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Oh, my goodness. Well, he's not Tom Brady, but he's Baker.
Shotgun look, Baker. Good snap. Looking to his left. Looking. Was the ball toward the end zone, toward Evans? He makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, his 82nd and 28-yard touchdown pass. And the Buccaneers are a point away from tying the game.
Shotgun look. Low snap. Caught by Mayfield, looks Mayfield throw. Dart caught ball, touchdown Tampa Bay. It's Trey Palmer. Palmer, the rookie, breaks a 10-10 tie. Great throw by Baker Mayfield, thrown a little low, and Palmer does his thing again.
All right, it's worth noting right off the top, Baker Mayfield has a couple of touchdown passes and no turnovers. Anytime Baker Mayfield doesn't turn the ball over, there's potential there. Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs radio. Yeah, long touchdown drives between the Bucs and the Vikings. They were able to consume a ton of time in that second half, especially. Chase McLaughlin had a 57-yard field goal with about 5 minutes to go in this game that matched his career long, and that was really the points that they needed, but they also had to get a first down to keep the ball away from the Vikings, and they were able to do it, and Baker's now installed with the Bucs.
You can always look back after a game, a close game like this, a few plays here and there that are really going to be the difference, and that last play, Chris caught that ball with just his fingertips. Incredible catch by him, sealing the deal, and just can't say enough about our guys just playing the next play. It wasn't our prettiest effort by any means, but we finished the right way.
Baker's gutsy. He's tough. The guy stayed behind him. The great thing is, when he was having problems, he wasn't turning it over. You know, giving our defense, kept him in the game.
See what I said?
He kept getting out, but he wasn't turning the ball over. They stuck with it. They made some plays. He made some gutsy runs at the end. Mm-hmm. And the offensive line came through for him. The receivers showed up, and it was a great team win.
Yeah, Baker doesn't turn the ball over. He has a couple of touchdown passes. He only gets sacked once. And as Todd Bowles points out, he gets help from his receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cade Otton, Rashad White, Sean Tucker, Trey Palmer. Yeah, stop me. Wait, who? Trey Palmer had a touchdown pass, so he's really spreading the ball around as well. Good for you, Baker.
They always come back.
Ew, it's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.